Now, earlier this week, we told you about Jasmine Paris, the British woman who had just achieved a sporting feat which many had said could never be done by a woman. She completed a race known as the Barclay Marathons, 160-kilometre endurance event, which gives athletes 60 hours in which to complete five loops of a circuit that can only be described as torturous. It covers the elevation of Mount Everest twice over. It doesn't have trail markers. They've got to run from memory and log in at various checkpoints to prove that they've stayed on course. And since the route was introduced in 1989, 1,000 or so athletes have lined up at the start, but only 20 have ever made it to the finish line, and none of them female. Well, that was until last Friday, when the history books were rewritten and Jasmine crossed the finish line with 99 seconds to spare. I saw an interview with one sports photographer on scene who said it was the most significant sporting achievement he had ever witnessed. And it's not the first time that she has broken records either. Amongst her many other achievements, back in 2019, she set a new race record for the Spine Race in the Pennines of England, despite the fact that she was pausing at the checkpoints to express milk for her baby daughter back home. I mean, it's just an extraordinary story, and I'm delighted to have this incredible woman with us on the line to tell us a little bit more about why she puts her body through this and what it actually takes to compete at this level of endurance racing. Dr. Jasmine Paris, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and welcome to Cape Talk.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's a great, great pleasure. And I should start by saying congratulations on the amazing achievement in Tennessee. Jasmine, I know you had been there before and come close to finishing before, but what do you think it was that gave you the edge to actually make it within the cutoff time this time round? Was it perhaps the awareness that people were saying it couldn't be done by a woman?
Yeah, that was definitely one of the driving factors, and that really spurred me on. I think the experience of 2 years of having been there and been around the course and learned the navigation, that really helped as well.
Yep.
And this year I just had a really strong sense of self-belief when I went there. The training had been really good, and I just felt that I could do it. And that confidence really, I think, carried me through and made me persevere when it was getting really tough.
Oh, you've given me goosebumps, because that sense of self-belief is something that many women struggle with, and the voice talks them out of things rather than talking them into being able to achieve things like this. Jasmine, obviously that's a voice you have learned to contend with over the years. I mentioned in my introduction the other extreme races you have conquered and the records you have set along the way. What was it that brought you into the sport in the first place?
Well, ultimately, I started as a hill walker. I did a lot of hiking with my family when I was as a child, and then lots of hiking with my brother in big mountains in Europe when I was kind of in my 20s. And I enjoy spending time in the mountains in wild places. It gives me a sense of perspective and calm. And so that's why I started running. And I realized that I liked running longer distances because I get to spend more time outside in the mountains. And I was really good at moving across rough terrain compared with other people. So that's kind of how I started doing it. And then these races, when I kind of take on one of these challenges, something like Barclay, I really enjoy challenging myself with something that I don't know whether I can finish it, because I find that that's kind of most exciting. That's when it sort of really, 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 when you're really challenged is when you sort of find out most about yourself, and that's when you kind of, those are the times when you come away sort of having redefined your belief in what you can do. So that's why I choose these events.
I mean, what I love from that statement, Jasmine, it sounds like you see yourself as competing primarily against yourself rather than against other athletes. Is it about what I can do personally, what challenge I can overcome, rather than about beating whoever else is lined up at the start with you?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, exactly. And that's why kind of Barclay was exactly my sort of thing, because we actually don't compete against other athletes at that event. You're kind of all competing against the course together. So yeah, exactly. You hit the nail on the head.
Now tell us more about that course, because I mean, it sounds brutal, absolutely brutal, but we weren't out there, you were. Can you tell us what you encountered, what sort of terrain you were moving through, how you survived out there? Were you sleeping? Were you stopping to eat? Just give us a bit of perspective on what the race was like.
Yeah, so I think what people don't realise when they talk about the distance and things on the race is how steep it is. It's extremely steep. The forest floor is covered with kind of dry leaves, so it's quite slippy as well. So you're kind of hauling yourself up the hill, and then once you get to the top, you go straight back down the same sort of steepness of descent. And then there'll be fallen trees, little cliffs to climb down, and lots of patches of briars as well that kind of can basically tear up your legs. So that's kind of the course. And you have to find books. Instead of checkpoints, you find books and you pull out a page which corresponds to the number that you're given at the start of that loop. And at the start of each loop, you get given a new page. And that basically means there's nobody on the course. It's not like you get any kind of support from people at checkpoints. You are on your own in the wilderness once you're out there. In terms of sleep, I didn't sleep. There's not really time to sleep on this course. Just 3 minutes between loops 4 and 5. And the food, you basically eat in camp what you can, pasta, porridge, rice pudding I ate. And then when I was on the course, I had things like flapjack and sweets and chocolate and some cheese and pickle sandwiches, which are very British.
Sounds delicious. But I mean, how you keep, obviously, keep meeting the physical needs of your body to keep pushing through is one thing. Jasmine, I think for a lot of athletes, they'll tell you that the mental race is the bigger, perhaps sometimes the bigger race, to keep going, to keep pushing yourself when your body is feeling like it can't do another step. Now, in your case, it meant approaching the end of that fifth lap. At what point did you recognize you were, I mean, did you know the whole way through that you were realistically within spitting distance of making it within the 60-hour cutoff? When did that sink in for you properly?
Yeah, you're right. The mental aspect is a huge component of these races. And it was really in the last loop, probably with about 6 hours to go, that I knew it was going to be very tight, but I believed I could make it. And I think it was that self-belief that actually made it possible, because a lot of people had already written me off based on the times that I was reaching, you know, that I reached the fire tower, which is, I guess, the one point you can tell where people are on the final loop. But I didn't lose that belief. And it was only kind of the last kilometre, when I had minutes to go, that suddenly I started to doubt whether it might not be possible. And then the kind of, that really was when it all, when I was up against it, really, and I had to kind of dig out another level that I'd never really had to reach before.
And anybody who has seen the photographs of you at the finish, Jasmine, will know. I mean, it just looks like it took every last ounce of strength that you had left in your body, that you literally timed it to cross that line and have nothing left to give. It was an extraordinary achievement. One of our listeners asking on our WhatsApp line about hydration through a race like this. Do you have to carry all of your water on your back? Because enough for 60 hours would be a lot of extra weight.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you don't, you would have to basically drink from streams. There's a couple of water points where you can collect water, but there was no way that you'd carry a huge amount if you carried it between those points. So, everybody ends up drinking from the streams. And obviously you make an effort to get kind of as clean water as possible, but when you're later on, when you're tired and you're doing it quickly, you find that you're drinking stuff with bits floating in it. But I've been fine since. Should be fine.
Okay. Now, look, speaking of drinking, I have to go back to something I mentioned in the introduction to this interview. Jasmine, in 2019, when you conquered the Montane Spine Race in the Pennines in England, it's a race that's been called Britain's most brutal race. Not only were you the first woman to ever win it outright, you did so in a new record time, and you did so while stopping to express milk for your baby at home. And I read that and I thought, my goodness, I think back to my years of breastfeeding, I found it very difficult to express anywhere, especially when far away from the baby, let alone thinking of doing so when I was busy putting my body through an extreme race. Just tell us a little bit about where you were in life and your decision to undertake that race, and your decision that you were going to carry on expressing, and how that impacted your performance that day.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, I had thought that she might be weaned by that point, because she was just over a year at that point old. But then we just, you know, anybody that's tried to wean a baby will know that it's not as easy as all that. And so it didn't happen. But I'd already frozen down lots of milk for her in the freezer at home. So there was milk for her at home. It was more a case of me not wanting to be uncomfortable when I raced.
Right.
And obviously getting mastitis would be the last thing you'd want. So I expressed at the checkpoint. But it was pretty fast then, because I guess my breasts were full of milk. And then later on, actually, I stopped making as much, because I guess my body was under such strain. Right. So it wasn't actually such a big deal. I think it was great in terms of the chat that it got afterwards, and the kind of coverage of breastfeeding and a kind of normalization of it that it achieved in the media afterwards.
Well, our listener Martin simply saying, respect, that is a double comrades marathon she's just done back to back. What an incredible feat. Jasmine, I don't know if you're familiar with the comrades in South Africa, or if by any chance you've ever run it. It's roughly 80 or so kilometres, our most extreme event for most athletes in this country. The thought of doing it twice over back to back, I think, will make a few other people green, as well as Martin sending that message to you. Thanks for that, Martin. When you're not running extreme, grueling races like this, I believe you are a small animal vet in Scotland. Is that correct? Do you want to tell us a little bit more about your life outside of sport?
Yeah, I do actually work full time. I'm a small animal vet. I actually work for the university. I'm specialist vet, so I work at the referral hospital here for the University of Edinburgh, and I do internal medicine. So specifically, gastrointestinal, kind of endocrine problems, blood problems. Yeah, right. It's a bit like being a detective really for disease in small animals.
So a veterinary detective, but then every now and then you've got to put down the magnifying glass and lace up the running shoes. Jasmine, what's your training schedule like? Do you sort of set aside periods of time in sort of block sets for intensive training before a big race like this? Or is it a case of every day strap on the shoes and get a couple of kilometres under your feet?
Yeah, so I do run almost every day. I have a rest day on a Monday, but other days I run every day. I do all my training at 5 a.m. That means I can get a good 2 hours, sometimes 2.5 hours in before I take my son to nursery on the way to work. And before this event, usually what happens before something big like this, I train twice a day if I can. So before, I was doing some session days when I was doing an extra session in the gym later on, just on the stair climber. I do quite a lot of strength work when I can as well with weights, because that really makes a difference for something like this. I should have mentioned I also do some research here in town in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I kind of do a mixture of clinical work and research, and so when I'm in the lab, I commute to the lab on my bike as well. So all of those things are kind of good training.
You're certainly squeezing every ounce of time out of the day by the sounds of things. Jasmine, I mean, to juggle all of that, to juggle a full-time career with the kind of training required to compete at this level with motherhood, I think there are probably many women simply saying salute to you for fitting it all in. Is it important to you, that perspective of women looking at what you do and saying, I see that as a huge achievement and maybe it inspires something else in them, even if they're not athletes? Because I've heard you reference several times now that you love not necessarily the focus on your individual achievement, but the sort of the spin-off of what the conversation brings. What do you hope winning a race like the Barclay does for other women who hear about that achievement?
Yeah, that's hugely important for me. And it's been one of the greatest joys, really, of having finished it. Just the fact that everybody, many people said before I finished that it was impossible for a woman to finish Barclay, including the event organizer, and it was such a joy to prove it wrong. And I guess I feel like it's a kind of my message to women across the world, that if someone tells you that you can't do something but you want to do it, and you then really believe in yourself and give it a go, and if you kind of put your heart into it and make the effort, then you really be very surprised at what is possible. So I guess my mindset is not really to have those barriers and just to see what I can do, regardless of what other people think is possible.
My final question to you then is what's the next question mark you've set yourself to find out what is possible? Are you allowing your feet a bit of a rest, I hope, but is there another big race already on the horizon for you?
Yeah, I'm going to have a little bit of time, just, more to be honest, to just enjoy running again, not kind of force myself up and down the same hill multiple times in one night type thing for training. I'm just going to have a few months of doing some Scottish hill running and see be back with the community I love and kind of, just get some joy out of being in the hills again. And then I've got an event in September time in the Alps in Italy, where I'm looking forward to, and there's another long one. I think it's about 330 kilometres and with a lot of ascent. So that's another one of these non-stop races, so not much sleep. And I'm looking forward to that. It's called the Tour de Gion.
Well, we wish you the best of luck for that. But Jasmine, more importantly, I wish you the joy you're looking for in those months in between. It's wonderful to hear that perspective and just say, winning and competing is one thing, but finding the love in what I do is also important to me. And I really hope that you have the opportunity to find that joy again. And thank you so much for making time to speak to us today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Jasmine Paris speaking to us from Edinburgh. I am in absolute awe. Not only at the achievement of what she did in Tennessee last week, but at that attitude. I love that description of saying it's about pushing myself and my limits and seeing what I am capable of doing, particularly when someone has told me that I can't. I love that perspective on competing at this level, and I love the message that it gives to others. So thank you again for joining us, Dr. Jasmine Paris, on the line to us from Edinburgh.